Hello and welcome to episode 306 of the Talk Nintendo podcast. I'm one of your hosts, Casey Gibson, and joining me this fine evening, it's a man that only eats red meat and corn. It's Perry Burkham.
That is a flat out lie.
Nope. But yes, hello, Casey.
That's the truth.
I do very much prefer red meat. It just depends, I guess. I don't know. I love steak. Okay?
Yeah.
So sue me.
There's nothing wrong with eating red meat until you're about mid-50s and you have a heart attack. But
yeah.
We got time before that happens.
Yeah.
And you know who has even more time till his mid-50s? It's the most beautiful boy in Boston, baby boy Balix, Alex Kalafi.
Baby Balix wreaking havoc, goo goo gaga gangsta magic.
Beautiful. Now, we're going to have to clip that one out and make that into a jingle somehow.
That was amazing.
Instead of me introing him every week,
gangsta magic.
Instead of me introing him every week, I'll just press the jingle button.
I have been thinking about that single bar all day. It has been
wonderful.
Through like three edits.
Was it all day or all week?
All day. It was because I was thinking about it since I put Goo Goo Gaga Sun in the Discord, and then
That's just wonderful in every way.
Thank you, Goo Goo Gaga Gangsta Magic.
Beautiful.
Thank you.
How are you doing, gentlemen?
Good. I went to McDonald's today, and you know how they got their McDonald's.
Did you drive through?
Not this time because it was my first time using the app, so I walked in because I wasn't totally sure how it worked. Now
no
I know.
Kenny
I can
logs.
Use it.
No Kenny Loggins, huh?
No, not this time. Not this time. And McDonald's has this like McDonald's festival. It's just like a gimmick in the app where they're doing like a new free thing like every single day or buy one get one whatever. And today's was a second medium fry, and I was craving McDonald's. I've been doing well lately, been hitting the elliptical every day, but I was like, you know what? You don't want to deny your cravings. You want to be responsible. So I went to McDonald's, got my quarter pounder, and then it was like buy one, get one free medium fries. So I ended up with two fries.
Ooh.
They came out. They were the hot McDonald's fries. The one purely delicious form of those fries. And
yes.
It's talking about like me as I start to drive independently, having like these new like Americana experiences, eating McDonald's fries out of the bag in the car. Like that's the first time I did that today. I mean, I only did it for a couple, but it was a heck of a vibe. I'll tell you what, boys.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. I tell you what, that app is unbelievable. So many good deals.
Yep. Tomorrow or the next day is like you buy a McFlurry, you get like two cookies free, I think.
That's double the dessert practically.
I think that this is sponsored by the Diabetic Doctor Association.
No one said living the D life was easy, Jerry.
Goo goo ga ga ga. I'm loving it.
Gangsta magic.
Yeah, gangsta. That's what they put on those fries for you, a little gangster magic.
Yeah,
love
something.
McDonald's. I don't want to say it never disappoints, but it usually doesn't. They're usually pretty good.
It's true. Yep.
Yep.
But they do, those fries definitely do hit different when they're like fresh out, freshly salted up, and like it's, you know, you eat one and it doesn't quite burn your mouth, but it's there and you got to wait just a little bit longer. Ooh wee. Mm-hmm. I can go for some right now.
That sounds amazing. I might have to pick some up.
You know what I did last night? I ordered some Mexican food. They took my money. And then Caitlin went to pick it up, and they're closed for renovations.
Amazing.
Wow. I get so angry. Caitlin's like, I'm sorry. I'm like, you don't have to apologize for anything.
I've seen Casey when he's angry. It is scary.
What?
It really does scare
I don't me. Get angry very often, but I'm like, Jerry, this $400 piece of equipment, please don't leave it unattended. An hour later, hey Jerry, where's that piece of equipment?
I don't think you actually specifically asked me to leave it unattended. I think it was just implied.
No, I said, dude, this is not mine. It's expensive. Take care of it. Which is pretty much like, hey,
did I take
don't
care
leave
of it
at a random table.
And did I take care of it?
You did, except for the hour it was sitting at some random booth.
I remember that interview, because I was falling asleep while I was doing the interview because I was so tired. Anyway.
Luckily it was good, but man, yeah, I was angry. But anyway, yeah, so I got to keep my eye out and make sure, because it's still in the pending state on my card, but it's just like.
Now you have to do something about it.
And it's like, all right, if you were closed, what, yesterday was a Monday, all right, maybe you close your, like, painting and we forgot to turn the online orders off. But Kate was like, it looked like they were doing some serious business in there. Like, not, well, they weren't doing any business, you know, but they were doing, like, a big overhaul of some sort. And it's like, you god dang idiots. Ugh, gosh. So, yeah. Ugh, I'm getting annoyed all over again.
That's terrible. That was like when I ordered from KFC and on their app. And it was 9:15 and they close at 10. It's like, I get it. You know what I mean? No. It was 8:45. That's what it was. 8:45.
And they close at 10?
Yes. Okay.
I don't get anything.
So I put the order in. I get a call like 10 minutes later. Hey, from the place. Hey, I can't make any more chicken tenders tonight. We shut down the fryer.
What? That's a little silly.
I was like, what?
Fire it back
up. And then, but then, okay. I was like, oh, okay. And they're like, so you have to call headquarters and cancel it because we can't do that from our end.
You got to talk to the colonel.
Yeah, it was ridiculous.
Yeah, it's just, yeah. Why am I punished or you punished for trying to just order up, you know?
Exactly.
Ugh, so dumb. And then we got, luckily there just happened to be a Mexican place across the street, so we went over there and it was pretty good. But it was just the principle, you know? The god dang principle.
Speaking of the principle, are you still using your snowball?
I am, yes.
And why?
So my clip broke on my other mic and I looked, they're like $50. I was trying to see if I could find one a little cheaper, but I'm pretty sure. And it's,
you think
just
a $50 clip wouldn't break?
Yeah, you would think so. But I guess they're, you know, what? Yeah, big old pain in the butt. So
sorry,
I think
that.
I'm going,
okay,
to order that and then a nice little desk stand. But it's going to cost me like $100. And I was like, yeah, I just haven't felt like doing that. But I sold a bunch. I sold a bunch of Amiibo and stuff on eBay. So I think by next week, I should have the normal mic back. Yeah.
How'd you do on the Amiibo sales? Because I have a collection that I am not looking at and are probably in okay condition.
I sold a handful to some peeps on the Discord, which, you know, like I was, you know, I probably could have gotten more if I tried, you know, but also then like eBay takes a bunch of your fees. So it worked out for everyone, right? Like they got the games a little bit cheaper. I didn't have to like pay eBay a bunch of money. And then I had a bunch, I had 17 left. And there were like some decent ones in there, like Shulk and a couple Fire Emblem ones. But then there were a couple turds, like, you know, like Tom Nook, and those, like, the Animal Crossing ones don't sell for a lot. So I just put it up on eBay as a lot for $140, and it sold pretty quick. So I probably could have gotten more, but I was like, I just want to get rid of these, you know? And eBay took, like, freaking $20, son of a gun. And then shipping was, like, 10. So I'll walk away with 110.
Well, they did facilitate your, I mean, you know.
Yeah,
it makes sense they do get paid.
No, for sure. And then I sold a Pokemon, the Sun and Moon double pack for $105 or $100. And then it's funny, I was going through my stuff and I found those cover plates for the new 3DS, the little ones. I found a Fire Emblem one and they're going for like crazy money on eBay. So I threw it up there and that auction's still live. But right now there is a bid for it for $50. I'm hoping, and there's some watchers, so I'm hoping that goes a little higher, but yeah, not bad. Like I said, it probably could have, like if I was really trying to piece it out, I probably could have got more, but I hate shipping stuff, you know? So it's like, especially Amiibo, like, oh, let me individually package all of these. Like, I was just happy to get rid of them.
Dude, that's like when I did that big sale, whenever that was, and I sold 100 games for $3,000, which like, it was like the the price chart's value was like $5,000. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. But it was just like, yeah, but like the work that would have had to do is easily, you know.
Yeah.
And, well, and the guy paid in cash. You know what I mean? Like, it's like I didn't have to ship anything. It was fantastic.
Yeah, no, that was definitely like the idea with the Amiibo, like on eBay. Because, yeah, it's like I know like Shulk and some of those other ones probably that's why it sold, you know, because they wanted those.
Right.
But I was like, no one like, yeah, I could list Tom Nook up there for $4, you know, then eBay takes it like and it's just not worth it. And I'm not going
to
throw
it away.
Alex
better not sell my Palutena I gave to him.
No, I wouldn't sell that. That was a gift.
He's like, I
have like 25 other Amiibo, though.
I'm just kidding. You can totally sell that if you want. But I appreciate you saying that.
I did. No, I definitely kept some Amiibo I like. Like I got my Cloud. I've got my Majora's Mask, Young Link. What else we got? Diddy and Donkey Kong. Can't get rid of those boys.
I do want to say that, Casey, did you look up the value of that Pikmin Amiibo?
Oh, yeah. It's expensive.
Yeah. Casey gave me that Pikmin Amiibo that I have sitting in my office.
Yeah,
right,
because
now.
You had mentioned it like two or three times over the course of however, like, I feel like last time I mentioned.
It means my subtle brainwashing technique worked.
Yeah, yeah.
Thank you, by the way.
I'm
that was really sweet
sweetheart.
Of you. You are a sweetheart.
But yeah, no, that one, yeah, I know I could have probably sold
angry.
Online. Yep, got him. And then, like, I sold Lemonade the squishy Amiibo, the squishy Metroid one, like when the Metroid breaking out of the case.
Oh, yeah.
And I guess he was showing me the prices in Australia were like crazy. So even with the insane shipping it cost to send to Australia, I think he came out on top on just getting a good deal. But
nice.
Like I said, I'm happy to help out some people listening too, which is great.
Yeah, I'm thinking about doing the big old. I mean, like that's the next on the docket to sell. But it is tough with Amiibo because it's like, and I've been reading about like finances and stuff, and it's like. They will gain value probably, and so it's just one of those things. Like, do I get rid of them?
How long do you hold them?
Yeah, it's tough, you know.
And yours are all packaged up, right?
Yep.
In box.
Yep.
Yeah, because all of mine I sold were out of box.
Yeah.
So you could probably get more. Yeah, it's one of those things. Like, 10 years down the line, you could probably get a lot more, but. Then you got to hold it for 10 years, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
And they definitely take up a lot of space. But I guess you have them all up on the wall pretty much, right?
Yep.
So, yeah. No, that's one of those things. It's nice, like, because I've been looking, like, I've got, like, Xenoblade Chronicles 2 Collector's Edition goes for a lot. But it's like, that's my favorite game ever, just or one of them, you know? So it's like, I don't really want to get rid of that. I've got some, like, DS games that are pretty, like, Dragon Quest V, Chrono Trigger. Couple of like games like that sell pretty well as well, but again, it's those games I really like, you know.
Yeah,
yeah. They're sort of my in case of emergency. Like I could definitely unload a lot of games, you know. But I've
right.
just been sort
right.
of getting rid of some things I don't really care too much about. But anywho,
that's
anywho,
how it is. Anyway, we got lots of games to talk about today.
Scalp yep. talk.
Scalp.
Scalping with Jerry.
Nintendo. Scalp Nintendo.
Perry, do you want to start with the game we've both been playing? The new release that comes out the day this comes out?
Well, now I have to since they would just mess up your segue.
Well, I think we should always start with the most interesting like new game, right?
Sure.
So Final Fantasy VI?
River City Saga, Three Kingdoms. Casey
right.
was trying to slide in. I just wouldn't let you.
I've talked enough anyway. I'm okay.
So yeah, River City Saga Three Kingdoms is a game I had literally never heard of, knew about anything about it until Alex was like, "Do you want this code?" And I was like, "Yeah, like I'll try it because I've always wanted to try these River City games." Now, obviously, I've played. Didn't they have one on the NES that we played online, Casey? I think that's. That old one that's on the... I believe
oh,
it's...
yeah, on the Nintendo Switch Online.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think we messed around with something.
And it was impressive, like super impressive. It's a... What do you call these types of games?
Beat-em-ups, right?
Is that what it is?
Yeah, they're beat-em-ups. I mean, the Scott Pilgrim game
brawler,
sort of
is that what it is?
Traces its lineage back to this. It's a brawler.
Yeah.
Yakuza even traces some of it back. I mean, there's like 30 games in this series. Like, yeah, something crazy.
I think, didn't you talk about these games? Oh, what are they? What are they called in Japan?
Kunio-kun.
Okay. So, yeah, I believe you talked about like a collection of these that you got.
Yeah, and it's out.
Import or something?
It's out. It's localized too. I imported a copy from PlayAsia before it was announced for localization, but it's also out. I think it's called Kunio-kun Collection something. Mm-hmm. But a lot of them are the same. There are some sports spinoffs, but the main series is like action RPG brawler beat 'em ups where you play as like sort of a Japanese high school delinquent, which is like a very common trope in like anime manga, and it's honestly one of my favorites. Like Yu Yu Hakusho plays into this a lot. Balax. You play as me, a Japanese high school delinquent. and then it's the way the main games work is usually it's some drama with the school. I think in the first game, like maybe it's like your girlfriend's kidnapped or something, and then River City Girls kind of subverts that, which is like sort of the most recent game that a lot of people like know as the point of reference. But they've been releasing these games forever. There were a few on 3DS. And then as far as I know, this is the first new like HD system one. And it is kind of it's a new game in structure because it's like an action RPG beat 'em up. But it is also kind of a spinoff because it is based on Three Kingdoms, like sort of like I think it's Romance of the Three Kingdoms is how it's referred to, which is like an actual period of Chinese history. But there's also like a ton of games and media based on it too. And this is sort of like those characters implanted into that historical setting or the media version of that historical setting.
Yeah. So I want to say just as we get this started off that like, I love this game. I dove in yesterday.
Don't be gushing.
And yeah, I am going to be gushing. Yes, I am going to be gushing.
I am a gusher.
I love the gameplay loop of this game. It's so simple, and it's kind of like a mishmash of like Super Smash Brothers and also like very lightly in some aspects, but then like a Warriors game, and then like with some cute like talking and story elements and stuff, just with tons and tons of Japanese charm. But I love it's so I can't wait to hear Alex's impressions too, because he knows these games a lot more than I do. But as I started going, it's like, yeah, like, okay, you know, you beat up, you walk up to a guy and you can punch, you can kick, and you can throw, and that's mm-hmm. you can grab and throw them, and then you can also like jump in the air and kick them and stuff. And there's not much nuance to it, you know, when you first start. It's like, okay, it's like, yeah, this is just like you walk up. Oh, there's a bunch of them coming, so you want to back up or you know, like whatever. Like it's a very simple game. But then you get into it and you realize, okay, there are some really cool nuances here. And then when you start learning these extra moves that you unlock and how to use them, it is super fun. It is like really engaging. And it becomes this like you know, you're basically walking from town to town or whatever, scene to scene.
And it's told through a side scroller, kind of a 3D plane, but it's a side scroller for the most part. Maybe isometric, but with sprites.
It's like Paper Mario. I mean,
it's like River City Ransom too, yeah, which a lot of people have played.
Yeah, yeah, it literally is River City Ransom. but that's the thing. I think the game is gorgeous. I think they nailed. I mean, I think there's some jankiness a little bit to it, but like I love these really cool NES, you know, 8-bit style sprites. And I think these games have always had a really cool look to them, the style. But it has these really nice sprites on top of this gorgeous 3D environment, almost like. I don't know. What would you equate the backgrounds to, Alex? Like what?
It reminds me of the HD 2D stuff a little bit.
Does it? Okay.
Well, I mean, it's kind of like how it's like very pretty, very pretty semi-pixelized sprites.
Really nice lighting, you know, nice lighting effects. Everything looks cool. I think that the characters have a really nice like kind of texture on them that just makes them fit in really well. I don't know. I think it's pretty cool. I love the way it looks, and the music is pretty good. And the the you know, every time you finish like a battle that you're like that's part of the story, you know, these nice big characters pop up and talk, and they look really nice. One of them looks just like Balix, the one that always has the crazy face on him all the time.
The oh my god, I think I know the one of the three guys, right?
Yeah, I think he's the blue one.
Oh yeah, yeah, that is, yeah, me. That's you. That's exactly me.
And so I got into this gameplay loop. Now the best part about it is that you level up. Like it has that.
Oh yeah, it's so satisfying.
And, like, you know, you're getting experience for everything. Every guy that you punch, you know, every guy that you kill, you get experience, and then you level up, and then you can immediately hit the pause screen and go to your status, and then you have five of these, you know, kind of like Mario and Luigi style upgrade spots that you can upgrade your punch, your kick, your throw, your luck, your, you know, I think there's eight of them, maybe nine of them, maybe
five skill points per level.
And
so
you get
can
five skill
those.
Points. Oh, yeah. And
nice
it's cool.
Distribution.
And it's fun because I kind of like being a little weird with it, like putting them all on the kick. And then now like my kick is super strong.
But then
like,
I only use the punch.
Yeah, you know, yeah, exactly. No, but it is cool. And I was like, okay, I found this axe, and you can find this other part of it is you can find weapons and use them. And that's one of your stats you can upgrade is your weapons. But, and also your throw is a stat as well. So I was like, well, this axe is already super, super powerful, and it bounces along enemies. And so it can take out like a whole group of them at once. So I was like, well, what if I upgrade my throw? So I'll just be taking an axe and throwing it the whole time. And then I did that, and I was just this powerhouse, like just taking this thing and throwing it. And it was really fun. And it was like, okay, this game is super fun. Like, I feel like that connection right there of like, I wonder if I do this, if this is going to, and then like you immediately feel the effects of it. Like, oh snap, this is super fun.
Does this have online play?
I'm not sure. I think it may have. Oh man, I should totally
I see
if it
for
has
like
co-op.
Two. I think okay. I don't know how long.
Did
I
you finish
it. An hour
the first
and a half
chapter?
Or two. I did finish the first chapter.
Me too. And like I basically right before, stopped right at, after.
Yeah, right before that, you unlock co-op play. I know that. Okay. And I think it's local co-op, but maybe it's online. I don't know.
Well, that's what has me interested. Like, I'm not a Ninja Turtles fan by any stretch of the imagination, but I've heard that Shredder's Revenge is really good, and I know it's got some online play. So,
does it have the RPG mechanics in that?
That I don't know. I think
because that's to me the bread and butter.
What you like
of this
about
game,
this?
In my opinion, and but I am definitely. Like, I love Streets of Rage 4. I'm sure I'd love that. I mean, it's definitely got me more interested in a brawler.
So it does say there is a story mode. I'm trying to see if there's a... Or arcade
it's
mode.
Really fun. But, like, as... I mean, it was like... I felt like... Like, Jill went to bed last night, and I was just, like, laying on the couch playing a video game, which I haven't done that for, like, ever. And it was just, like... And it felt like an old school... It was like, this is just, like, a nostalgia hit for me. Like, it was awesome. And it's really great on the Switch, really great. Looks great on the OLED, has lots of black like pixels and stuff, and it just looks great. It's fun. And Alex, you playing on the Steam Deck?
I'm playing on the Steam Deck. So what I like to do is so we can get multiple codes. Last time I'm not like inside, but like my understanding is that like Steam codes are less expensive than Switch codes for a publisher to give. So
they're
unlimited
for Steam. Codes.
Okay, you so you I mean you're a developer, so you know that. So I like to ask for a Steam code because one, it allows two people to play the game, better conversation. Two, I got my Steam Deck, so like a little selfishly, I want to play it on Steam Deck.
He's a Steam Deck stan.
It's easier on their end too, as far as I know. So I'm playing on Steam Deck. And a little bit into the structure of the game. So like, yeah, 2D plane, beat 'em up, and sort of there's a story. It's a little hard for me to follow the exact beats of the story, but it for the most part is amounted to we have to beat up this guy and we have to go here and beat up these bandits. There's a little more going on, but like it's been a tiny bit hard to follow.
It is so much text. It's so much. So it's
but
like,
not
been...
to the point where it's like neon white, where it's a little bit of all right. Let's get to the next thing now.
I'm not frustrated, but
I was gonna say I'm surprised they went that much into the story because I feel like these kind of games are just mostly gameplay, right? Like that's why people play beat 'em ups and stuff.
Uh,
this is kind of an action RPG. These games are sort of action RPG. Like, they tell a little, a light sort of story. And But the way it works is you sort of start at a location, and then there are six chapters. The first one was like two and a half hours for me, which means whole game's probably 10 to 15 hours, if I had to guess, based on six chapters. And you're kind of going from waypoint to waypoint, sort of going through the story. There are a bunch of side quests that pop up along the way. You traverse by sort of going up the map, down the map, left, right. Pretty well navigated, pretty easy to navigate map. Plus, there's a pretty cheap fast travel. There's also the combat system also picks up a lot more complexity in its first couple hours than the previous games I played in this series had. So the ones on 3DS, I mean, I haven't played them in a while, but they were kind of limited in their combat system, and I got a little bored. But I don't know if that's fully fair, because I'd have to go back to know exactly what the difference was between this one and that one. But this one, at least, it has like two different types of ultra moves. There are combos. There are ultimate attacks, where if you use two of the sort of super moves that you can get as skills, which that's a little confusing, but like, there are also ultimate moves you can unlock, but then there's a secondary sort of fire meter you can utilize that has a crazy attack. And it's one of those where it's like, if you just want a mindless Dynasty Warriors beat 'em up, which I think Dynasty Warriors is kind of like this too, you can have it. You can just beat guys up. You can do super moves, and it is not that hard to beat it has not been that hard to play through the game. But if you want to raise the skill ceiling a bit, you want to get a little funky with it, the game leaves room for that too, which I think is really nice.
Yeah, and it has that really cool, like you know, you go to a new town, check out the shop, check out if they have the new gear that you can put on, like the Xenoblade, the RPG thing, you know, where it's like, oh, great, like this raises like six of my stats by two, you know, and that feels really good, you know, which I always love that feeling. It's like, and I then can throw out my old you know, leather sandals, you know, for the bronze sandals, you know.
It's also quite addicting in that, like, you're raising your levels fairly quickly. I mean, at the end of chapter one, I'm at like level 10 or whatever. And then you're like doing your skill points, and then you're sort of comparing that and like fighting guys. But then a lot of the stuff in the stores, especially the skills, are like a little too pricey for you most of the time. Mm-hmm. So sometimes I'll find myself grinding stuff out to get it, and I'm trying to earn one that I found that's like 15,000 coins. That's like a dragon head butt or something. And I think I have like 9,000 coins, so I want to grind that out.
Well, and
so it has that sort of addicting, like, cookie clicker style, vibe to it too.
It works well though with
the
design of the game, because you can fast travel to most places for coins, for like 100 coins or 200 coins or something, depending on the length. Or you can go there pretty quickly by going through the environment. And while you're doing that, you can fight the guys, and the fighting the guys feels good, and you're getting experience, you're leveling up, you're getting more coins. So it's like you're rewarded for both, you know. It's like it's just a good system. I really like it.
Yeah, I'm liking it though.
It's great. I didn't heard anything. I was like, I wouldn't have been surprised if you're like, yeah, like this game sucks. Like the other ones are way better, because I know nothing about it. But yeah, I'm glad to hear that you like it too, because it's super fun.
Promising start. I'm a little curious if it'll lose steam by chapter two or three. Like if it like runs out of like ways to enhance its gameplay further, but I've liked it so far, so I'll give it the benefit of the doubt until then, I guess.
But losing steam, you say? It's almost like you're trying to provide a segue for my next game, which is just a quick bite.
No, but we can talk about yours.
Also, real all quick, right, since that wasn't a segue, I do see in Turtles of Time, or I almost said Turtles of Time, Shredder's Revenge, there are looks like you can get like power levels up, and like unlocks an extra hit point, ninja power gauge number two, a stronger attack. So not necessarily like, hey, here are 5 points to distribute as you see fit, but there is some sort of leveling, it seems like.
Sure.
Nice.
But anyhow, now get on with it, Jer.
Just a quick bite.
You're on the clock.
Yep. Klonoa 2, I've been playing that through as well. I played just like a bit of it last week, and then I've been playing it every night, like just a couple levels here. Really good. I would say it's better in almost every way than the first game. It's focused more on the good platforming angles. Near the end of the game now, and some of the levels are more adventurous, like more like get the
less
key.
Linear.
Yes, like get the key and go back here and find the door and go there. And it's
like the very worst level of Klonoa 1.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And I would say that the platforming, everything is less janky. The things that you use in the game, like there are cooler enemy, like things you can hook onto and jump off. And there's these cool trampoline things that and cannons like that throw you into the air, and the camera angle changes. It's a way better game. It is. But it is at the point I'm getting a little burnt out, where it's like, well, I really just want to play it for the platforming stuff, and these are more of like the key stuff, and it's like, I don't know. So I don't know if I'll finish it. I'm really close, but I don't know. But
I bet you don't.
Again, I've enjoyed it. I've definitely enjoyed it so far. So that's kind of it's kind of a funny fizzle ending, but it's a charming little game. Yeah, that's about it. So there we go.
Is it like 12 to 14 levels or however many it is?
I don't know, because they don't do the same. It's a way different, you know, you're on a world like Super Mario World style map, and they're not numbered, and you revisit them sometimes. And so it still says vision clear at the end, but it doesn't have like, it's not like vision 6.1 or 6.2, you know? So I feel like it's way, way longer already.
Okay.
I feel like it's a longer game, and it's better. It's just maybe it's too long. Maybe that's what the thing is. Mm. So,
okay,
yeah.
Well, I'm gonna try it again, because I played like two or three levels with Klonoa 2, and I'm actually having a pretty good time. The last thing I did was like that chase, that water slide chase.
Yeah,
had to play his third Sekiro run through.
Yeah. I did two Sekiro playthroughs, and I'm very proud of myself for doing so. So thank you very much.
But you, at this rate, you could be a speedrunner. Start working on it. You'll be topping the charts.
God, Sekiro's so good.
I wonder what the world record is.
All these Souls games, it's like 11 minutes. Even like Elden Ring, it's crazy already, and it hasn't even been a year.
Yeah, I watched the Summer Games Done Quick is a huge like week-long marathon, and I watched the Elden Ring, and it's funny, like they have to play on the first edition of it. Mm-hmm. And it's like they just break it so bad, and like the horse can fly, and they're just like it's pretty interesting to watch, actually.
But yeah, I'm interested in seeing a little more. Should we go to one
Casey.
Of my games, or
let's
Casey.
Do Casey and then end with you?
Okay, sounds good.
All right. Well, glitchless Sekiro, they beat it in the world records 28 minutes and 56 seconds.
Whew.
And you said what, you were at like skips. 2 hours?
No, it was like the first playthrough was like 40 hours. The second playthrough was like 12 or 13. The thing is, like, a lot of that game is like learning boss patterns and learning how to play the game.
Yeah.
So once you do it, you just feel like a complete badass the second time, because you're like ripping apart these very complicated From Software enemy combos. And like the final boss took me maybe 3 or 4 tries on the second playthrough, when the first it took me like several hours.
God gamer, so you know, you feel like the god gamer.
You do, but it's like, it doesn't, whatever wizardry they did to make that game as hard as it is, but I feel like as accessible as it is to like most like people who are okay at games, I can't even imagine. Like, I can't even imagine. That game's magic. But enough of mine. What have you been playing?
Casey, what have you been playing?
All right, what I've been playing is a super old game. I mentioned a little bit last week with the Super Nintendo Mini. I've been playing some Final Fantasy VI, which, if you're playing on the Mini, it's actually Final Fantasy III. Back when Square was like, well, they didn't get... You know, 3, 4, or 5, we'll just change 6 to 3.
That is the dumbest.
Yeah, that's, yeah, it's stupid.
That's amazing.
But it is Final Fantasy VI. But yes, in America, it was originally released as 3. But man, so this is one of those games, like, as a big JRPG fan, right? Like, the game of Shameless, like, what are you doing? Why haven't you played this one yet? And I've played it before, but it's always sort of just been like, oh, I don't know what to play. Like, all right, I'll try this. And then, you know, I put in, like, 1 to 3 hours time, and then it falls off, right? Like, oh, the next thing came out, or it didn't grab me. But pretty much with Xenoblade Chronicles 3 coming out in just a week and change here, week and a half, it's one of those, like, I had like 2.5 weeks to play a game, but I didn't know what to play. And then I was like, you know what? I'm going to finally do it. I'm going to finally beat Final Fantasy VI. I'm not there yet, but I'm well on my way. It was actually really nice to, like, get past the parts that I've remembered, and then be like, ooh, like, I've never been here before, you know?
Uncharted,
like,
territory.
Yeah, like, ooh, this is exciting. And then getting, like, this game's got a pretty large cast of characters that, you know, join your party. So starting to see characters I'd never seen before, and just exciting, right? So it's like, okay, cool. And the game, you know, sort of, it starts off, you know, there is no magic in this world, but there's this, like, there's espers, right? Which are like magic being things. And then there's this one girl, Terra, who for some reason she can use magic. So the game starts out with her just, like, obliterating things, you know? And that you find out she's sort of under the control of the Empire. I think they actually call it, like, a slave crown or something.
It's full on Star Wars. It feels a lot like Star Wars.
Yeah, for sure. Yep. Yeah, yeah. You're battling the Empire. You're the Returners. It definitely feels like some good old Star Wars. But you know, she breaks out and she doesn't remember what's going on. But she does side with you, and then pretty much it's between essentially the Empire wants to, you know, harness all of the power from these espers, and then they can use magic, which then they can have all the power to destroy, you know, rule how they see fit. And you are trying to prevent that because, you know, 100 years ago, the War of the Magi took place, and, you know, it pretty much devastated the world. So you're trying to prevent that from happening again. And the game is really, really funny. Lots of really great writing and comedic writing. There's just, like, there's the Ultros, this, like, octopus that just pure comic relief. Like, you fight him at first, you're like, oh, God, maybe this is going to be a big old baddie. And you beat him down pretty quick. And, like, just throughout the game, at the most random times, he just pops up. And, like, you know, he's always there to thwart your plans, except he's just, like, a big old jabroni, and you just beat him down, you know. But it's, again, like, just bits of funniness sort of thrown in there. But the game definitely has a pretty serious tone.
It's like in Xenoblade 2. What's his, when that guy that eventually joins your party, who meets you?
Yeah, I was going to say Rex. It's not Rex. Gosh, what is his name?
I can't remember his name now.
Yeah, he's a goober. What's cool is, right, this is a turn-based game, right? So you'd think, like, and it's pretty traditional, but each character, like, has different abilities, right? So Saban, he is sort of like a martial artist, so he gets these things called blitzes, and how it works is you select that, and then, like, depending on the button, like, input combo you put, he'll do different abilities. And if you mess it up, like, he just won't do an ability, and you sort of unlock him throughout the way. So it's cool, but okay, like, that's how he plays. And then there's, like, Edgar, he's the king. He uses different tools. So, like, you pick up tools and, like, a chainsaw and a crossbow and stuff. And they have different abilities, and, just, like, they do a pretty good job of making characters feel different, despite it being, at the end of the day, like, you're picking, you know, menu items, right? It's a turn-based JRPG. And as you get a little further into the game, like, you get, like, essentially the espers that the Empire's harnessing, like, you get some of those too. So how that works is, like, you'll equip it to one of your party members, and as you battle, like, you get magic points, and, like, you'll eventually unlock magic for that person. And then, like, you can, oh, I've got all the magic from this Esper. Now let me switch it out with to another one. And then you can really build up your, like, magical capabilities for each character, you know? So that, you know, like, main thing at first, I'm like, well, I want to get a cure skill on everyone, you know? So then this way, if my, you know, my quote-unquote traditional healer goes down, you know, I have other characters that can still heal up as well. So it is a lot of fun, like, being able to sort of build your party how you want. In the beginning, there is quite a bit of, hey, you're sort of splitting out into different groups. And it's cool because you could pick those as well, you know. And then as you go further down the game, like down the line, I sort of have my core team, you know. But you do have characters coming in and out. And you know, I think I'm like 13 or 14 hours in and like I'm still getting new characters introduced. And I've just sort of gotten up to like the I don't know, like plot twist or like a real big event has just gone down, you know? So it's really ramping up, I think. And like the pacing feels pretty good. There are, you know, it's a Super Nintendo RPG. So you definitely, it's random battles. And there are definitely areas that like, it's like, man, there are a lot of battles here. You know what I mean? But it's not so egregious that I'm like, oh my God, I hate this. But, you know, no one particular area is usually too crazy long anyway, you know, so and it is a little punishing. If you do die, you know, you'll go back to the last time you saved. You will keep your experience, though. So it is nice that, you know, if you level up like two or three levels, you don't just like lose all of that progress. But you
right,
won't
that is
keep
good.
You won't keep items you've found. So I mean, ideally, right, or not ideally, essentially you'd be going back through that area again, so you'd have to go pick up the chests and items like that way. But it is nice that you don't feel like it's a complete loss, you know? Like, it happened to me the one time, and it was on, I was, like, farming something, too, just, like, I wanted to get an extra level, and it was just something, oh, God, I came in, big ability killed one of my guys, and then they, like, put a spell on me where I couldn't control my other guy, and, like, and I just ended up dying that way. And it was like, oh, but at least, yeah, I was like, all right, well, at least I kept the experience. But yeah, it's one of those things that, like I said, it's been on my list to play forever. It's held in super high regard right there. You can look at Final Fantasy, like the best Final Fantasy ever games. And this one, you know, it's definitely towards the top of the list. And if not, you know, at the top for a lot of people. So it's, to me, it's living up to the hype or the reputation, I really should say. And yeah, I'm loving it. And like I said, what we got, it is the 19th. So we've got like 10 more days to Xenoblade comes out. There's no way I'm not beating this game beforehand. So I'm going to hit my goal and finally finish this one off.
Very nice. It's always good when you beat like a bucket list game, like which I mean, well, there's been so much downtime with releases that I've gotten to do it to a couple, and like I'm very happy that you as like a JRPG guy are getting to play a JRPG that is almost as significant to people as Final Fantasy VII, and in some cases more so, right? Like, it is one of the signature premier JRPGs ever made. Mm-hmm. And it's awesome that like you're finally getting through that. And I want to as well someday, but
yeah,
not yet.
And this is one, like my buddy Kevin growing up, his brother was like, he was like probably like we were now, you know, he was super into gaming and like he knew all the great games. So even when I was younger, I knew like Chrono Trigger, Final Fantasy VI, like these are games you've got to play. So like I've been wanting to beat this game since I probably was like 12 years old, you know? And it's mm-hmm. it's just eluded me for that long. But 20 years later, he's going to finally do it. And then I get to follow it up with Xenoblade 3, you know? It's like, woo-wee!
What happens if you hate Xenoblade 3?
It would be a shame, but I just don't see that happening.
Me neither. I don't see it happening.
I don't think I will, but they always go so weird. Like, they always veer left in ways you don't expect that, like, I have no idea. I'm optimistic, though.
I think at worst case, it's like the battle system will be close enough to it that I'll, you know, and I enjoy that battle system that I'll probably enjoy that. And if, like, for some reason the story sucked or something, it's like, well, at least it's going to be a beautiful world to explore.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, yeah, no, I'd bet the house that I'm probably going to, at minimum, really enjoy this game.
You know, I'm editing together our thumbnail.
You're editing this week? Thank you.
Right now? Oh. No. And did I hear anyone talk about the hidden Baleks from last week? Did you guys see it?
I'm not sure if I found it.
It's the most disturbing one yet. Right. Anyway.
Yeah, we're going to have to keep an eye out.
But I'll just keep it at that on the 305 one.
All right.
Anyway, so Balix, I know you're looking right now, but you're gonna have to stop because you have to talk about this last game.
We have two last games actually. One of them's pretty quick, but there's right next to the next one. Oh.
Did you add those question marks just recently? They weren't there when we started.
They were right as we started. But another review code game I got, Endling, Extinction is Forever.
Playing this on
Steam Deck. I asked for a Switch code. They didn't have any Switch codes left, so but they could do a Steam code, so that's what I'm playing it on. It is verified for Steam Deck. It's my running on it was like fairly mixed. Well, it ran, but sometimes it slowed down, but it was fine. Anyways, Endling Extinction is Forever was announced, I think, in a Nintendo Direct like last December or something. Whenever there was like, it was the last few months, there was some indie Direct or something was announced. I talked about this briefly last week. And it was that game that was like very like heartbreaking foxes trying to survive, mother fox and her cubs. Very gorgeous art. And then there, actually the most recent third party Direct, there was another game that looked a little bit like that, but black and white. And it was like two animals that were friends beside.
Oh, yeah. And then they like formed together to make part of the logo.
Yes. But this one's a different sort of game. So this is so you are a mother fox. You're playing as a mother fox. And it is like as the world is ending from what seems like a combination of war and people ruining the planet through environmental stuff. It has a message for sure. And you are the last surviving mother fox. At the start of the game, you give birth to four cubs, and then right after that, one of the cubs gets stolen, which is sort of the thrust of the game. And over the course of, I don't know, like 30-ish days, you are trying to find your cub. And the way that plays out is you have your three cubs into you, and you have to find food for them every single night. Which means sometimes it's berries, which will sort of raise your hunger meter a little bit, which the hunger meter is always draining. Maybe you'll catch a rat. Maybe you'll find an egg in a tree that you can feed to the cubs. It's like very much survival style gameplay. But there are also like dangers in the world. Like there is a guy who comes around with guns and with a gun. And then there's a furrer, like a poacher type person. And I think because they have the environmental edge, what they're doing is like they show those deaths. Like if you don't feed your cubs, one of them will die. And then like it's you can end the game without all any of the cubs. Apparently, I restarted whenever I lost a cub because I was not going to have that happen. But it kind of it shows it like in a fairly brutal way, even if it's not like gory or anything. It's like it's fairly brutal. And
they
it's
let
like,
you feel it.
They really do. And like there are a lot of scenes where like you just see the absolute wreckage that people put in the world, just like sludge instead of lakes. And then you go into a farm at one point and you see like chickens like hanging up by their neck, just sort of. I mean, like I don't
the worst.
It's kind of the heavy handedness is very interesting, which like I'm very sensitive to. Well, I'm open to a game with a message if it can deliver it well. Media has changed my opinions or opened my views up to things before. And I mean, I'm already like, hey, we should take care of the environment. That's not necessarily something I disagree with, but like, I'm like, okay, I'm open-minded, but sensitive when it feels like they're just like preaching to the choir, hammering a point into your head. And it's like, there's a very effective story here that's heartbreaking and like it'll pull the heartstrings and like, the way they tell the story of the foxes is like very compelling and I was interested to see the end and the survival gameplay, which is like kind of on a 2D plane, but kind of 3D. It's like Limbo-y, but it's also a survival game, but there's also a Metroidvania element. As your cubs get older, they can unlock skills. I'm being fairly quick about this. And the story, it like, sometimes it does a really good job of telling a good story and feeling like this is the world that we live in, or this is the world that these characters live in. And like, it's not that humans are the worst, like there's kindness everywhere, but there are bad people too. And it's like, it's like morally complicated, and that stuff I like, because it's like, there are good and bad everything. But then like, sometimes it'll get like really heavy handed with the environmental messaging, where the point where it gets distracting. And it's not that like I disagree with the message, like I pretty much completely agree with it, but it's like, when you don't put story first and you put the message so aggressively that it sometimes dips to the point of activism, you lose anyone who you haven't already convinced, and you end up just preaching to the people who already agree with you, which was kind of frustrating to me, because like, I think the game's so close to being really great, and I still had like a, not a good time. Like it wasn't fun, but it was like compelling, and I enjoyed it as a work of game art, whatever. But it was just like, some of the story beats are like, all right, you're playing your hand a little too visibly, and it's distracting, which makes me annoyed with the game, even though I agree with the message. So that's like my one critique of it. But it's like a 7.5 or 8 out of 10 that like has a really interesting, compelling survival adventure sort of package that like, it just loses me on leaning a little too hard into like the ham-fisted story stuff.
Yeah, so that's frustrating.
I still like, I think if you saw the direct and you were like really into the game and you like watched a trailer or whatever, and you're like, oh, I'm excited for this, I think you should still be excited for it. I think it's still like a really beautiful game, and there's an interesting story in there. It's like, I think it's going to be, your mileage may vary if you decide to play this, on whether that stuff bothers you or doesn't bother you, but pretty good game. And then my last one, similar type of game, I've been playing Gangsta Magic.
He did it, that monster.
I bought it today.
On the Swizzitch?
Yeah. It's actually cheaper on Steam, I just found out, because I was pulling up a store page to look at it.
Might as well pick it up there too.
Yep. It was 50 cents on Steam. And it's like $1.99 on Switch, which feels a bit like a ripoff.
Overpaid.
That's amazing.
And it is like kind of a ripoff. It is like,
they use their own sort of gangster magic.
Ooh, it's a coming
extortion.
Full circle.
It turns out the gangsta magic was extortion all along.
That's amazing.
This is a weird, awful game.
Is it?
It's so bad. So it's like, it's one of those where it's like a still image. It's like a series of still images as the menus. Like, it's that kind of game. And like, as a cursor, instead of like highlighting the menu options, do you know how like when you're in MS Paint and you like stretch the box, it has like those dots, those like slightly moving dots around, like when you like, whether it's to sort of crop an image or whatever, you know what I'm talking about?
Yes. Yes.
That's what their cursor looks like. Gotcha. Is like they were in Paint and put it around and did like the cursor around. It is the worst looking cursor I've ever seen. And then I go into the tutorial, and it's
at PC gameplay right now.
And it's kind of like broken English and then Japanese text over it, which I'm very curious what the creation of this game was. It was probably a goof from some friends or whatever. Like, I don't, it probably wasn't, like, something they spent years and years on. There's, like, 10 levels. You look like Neo. You look like a slightly chubby Neo from The Matrix. And then yes. You fly around and you can use magic. to kill enemies. And the end of the level is finding a cone of the USA flag. And when you reach it, you end the level. And there's no narrative, no story whatsoever. It's just you click into levels. If you lose, you get booted back to the level select menu. You can select any of the 10 levels immediately. If you die, it just, like I said, boots you back. And you can just use the flying powers to run straight to the end of the level without much consequence, which is kind of helpful.
That's
because
the magic,
which is kind of helpful because the magic powers, like, I don't know exactly how they work. I looked at the tutorials, like I saw that there were fire powers and a sort of a punch and ice and whatever, but like, it just stopped working on like level 3 or whatever, and I don't know why.
They probably didn't expect anyone to actually play past level 3. So they're like, they implemented whatever.
I went to level 10, and this is something that Perry will know what I'm talking about, and maybe you too, Casey, if you've like fallen through the map in an open world game before. So you know how like you get on the other side, like you get on the inside of some polygons, and you see this weird, like, it's like you can see the outline of a polygon, kind of, mm-hmm. but you're also seeing through it. It's like this gross, weird, broken texture because you're seeing it from the wrong side. You take two steps in the final level to the right, not, like, Deuces. Doing a glitch. It's like there's a castle, like a weird, generic Unreal Engine castle or Unity, whatever. And you just see the other side of that texture, like, within 3 seconds. So, because it's already a lock, pretty much, that I'm winning the predictions this year, I'm wondering if I should make you guys play through all of this instead of Undertale.
Oh, no.
The true punishment.
No, I'd probably use it to make you guys play a game I like. But, if there was an E3 this year, and there were predictions, and I won that, this is the second. It is so bad.
It really is bad. But funnily enough, like, the assets are amazing looking. I mean,
they look good on PC. On Switch,
maybe you should pick up the Steam Deck version.
They're not bad on Switch.
The Switch looks like an ultra low, like, PC settings, and it does not hold a stable 30. It doesn't look like it's holding a stable 30 on PC either, based on this Steam trailer.
I mean, I'm watching
for 50 cents, you can find out.
It doesn't look too bad.
Actually, anyway. Wait a second. Here's something weird. I'm on the Steam page, and I'm watching a trailer, and the Windows 10 bar is just visible on the official trailer.
That's amazing.
Just chilling. You see Steam, you see Google Chrome, you see Microsoft Explorer. Unreal. Oh, it is an Unreal. Okay, I can tell because there's an Unreal icon at
it's
the
open,
bottom
yeah.
of his bar that's open.
Good land.
Anyways, there's a little treat instead of eShop Roundup for you.
This is wonderful.
That was the eShop Roundup continued from last week. Part 2.
Goo goo gaga, gangsta magic.
What was this? Would you say he's a chubbier version of
Neo from the Neo. Matrix? Like chubby thick Neo. Keanu Reeves?
Thick Keanu. That's funny. All right. Well, I think it's time to take a break and then come back and we'll end the show with some listener mail. Is that what's going on?
Listener mail.
Yeah. With the Talk Nintendo podcast, where we talk Nintendo in a podcast form, and it's time for some listener mail.
Listener mail.
Yeah. You can send us listener mail at TNP mpmailbag@gmail.com. That's just a nifty little thing we made on air last week. And our lovely listeners filled it up this week. We're not going to be able to get through it all, but definitely send us some. tnpmailbag@gmail.com. And Balix, would you take this first one from Lockjaw?
I'd love to. Dear three moderately prepared men, this podcast is part of the Mail Preparation Network with three unprepared men. With all the recent discourse around how good Diablo Immortal is, relatively speaking, it convinced me to finally give Diablo 3 a shot. Ooh, this is a Cassie email. I've eyeballed it forever, but RPGs typically aren't my thing. Now I found myself quite hooked on it and wishing I would have tried this years ago. Have you guys ever done this? Have you guys ever given an old game a shot only to think, dang it, Bobby, why did I sleep on this game for so long? Cordially dang yours, Bobby. Lockjaw. I get those all the time, like, because I'm trying to play games on, like, my...
This is Alex's life.
Because I'm trying to play my games on my video game bucket list, and Casey can attest to this from Final Fantasy VI. It's like Sekiro came out in 2019, one of the best 20 games I've ever played already, right? Demon's Souls, played it earlier this year.
You need a jingle PS5 for every time version. You say that.
But the thing is, I'm searching these out and I'm finding good ones.
I know. No, the thing is, I'm not saying you're lying. I mean, that's the beautiful part. It's like since Alex has started this podcast, he's found the top 20 games he's ever played.
You owe us. All this talk about us owing you, you owe us.
You know how I paid it back? 8% month over month listenership. You're welcome. You are welcome. Goo goo gaga, son.
All the babies in Boston tuning in.
It's like, yeah. Hollow Knight, I got in like...
listenership went up off the rails.
The baby audience. We have secured the baby audience. The Hollow Knight, I've had that Switch game installed on my system since 2017. Didn't play it till last year. It's like Undertale, loved it. That game came out in 2015. This happens all the time. And you know what? I know there's like a certain why didn't I play it sooner? But on the other hand, it's also such a treat, because it feels like you dug up some buried treasure. So, like, I don't regret it, because it's always nice to have a great little backlog game to come back to, even if it takes a while to get to it. So I don't say dang it, but I sympathize with the feeling for sure.
Yeah, well, like I said, sort of timely email with me playing Final Fantasy VI here. But I could even say, sort of, I guess when I got into Final Fantasy XIV last year, you know, the first three or four expansions, whatever it was, you know, were relatively old. So going through those were fun and had a blast with that. I think back to Tesla v. Lovecraft, right? Like, that was a game I got a code for and I was just like, not interested at all. I was like, no, thank you. And then for whatever reason, I ended up playing it, and that game is just an absolute treat. It's like Alex said, it's sort of, part of you might think like, why didn't I play this sooner? But hey, you know what? Sometimes it's like you said, the buried treasure and just it hits when it hits. I guess I can even think back to, I remember even the first Xenoblade that came out when I was sort of in my like Nintendo / video game lull. You know, I wasn't really paying attention as much. Or really playing anything too new aside from, you know, like, oh, Zelda came out, you know, now I'm going to play that. So I got into Xenoblade, you know, significantly after it came out, and that was just like, oh my goodness, like, this is an unbelievable game, you know? So, I don't think, like, I guess you do miss out on, like, the zeitgeist, right? Like, all the conversation about the game and everyone's playing it. Which definitely
is a legit thing.
Yeah, like, I think that's part of, I mean, Xenoblade Chronicles 2, I love that game to pieces, but a big part of it was David and I played that, you know, at the same time. Obviously, you know, most people are playing it around that time, but we, and Perry will know, David and I talked in our group chat every day about that game, and Perry wasn't playing it, but he got to see David and I just BSing back and forth, mm-hmm. and it is definitely fun when you sort of have a group of people.
Zeitgeist is an amazing thing. But then, yeah, like the true and tried, as Casey says, you know, returning back to a game after time has passed and seeing how good it is, it's a good testament too. So,
and you know what, Lockjaw? Maybe you weren't in the headspace or ready for Diablo 3 yep. until right now. Like, there are plenty of games that I was not in this. I wasn't. Yep. My mind wasn't in a place to play it and stick with it and enjoy it and appreciate it yep. until a few years later. Like, so
a few hours later.
That's the thing with all art and then with video games, because that's what we talk about most, is like, it's not fair. It is totally not fair to the people making the games, because, like, when they release a game, it, you know, under the exact perfect conditions, like, even, like, to the idea, like, oh, like,
even
my
Gangsta
job
Magic.
Now, like, yeah.
I wasn't emotionally ready for Gangsta Magic a few hours ago, but I am now.
Well, it's just like, you know, there is, like, I would have enjoyed this game in November when I wasn't as busy, or you know what I mean? Like, it's just one of those things.
Yeah, external factors absolutely play.
They do.
Part.
They make a, and it's not fair, but that's just how life is. And so it's fun when it matches up and it feels so good. I love that feeling. That's the best thing. Mm-hmm. They can't all be Gangsta Magic, you know?
Nope.
All right. We're going to do one more. This is from our lovely man from Mexico, Estuardo. Casey, would you like to take this one?
Yes, sir. New email, new listener mail. Got a question. Do you... hold on, I'm going to slide this over. I can read it easier. Do you guys think that Nintendo is done for big announcements for 2022? Pokemon, Bayo 3, Splatoon 3, and that's it? Or are you guys hoping for a surprise before the end of the year? Personally, I'm hoping for Advance Wars Remake, my game of the year, by the way, before the end of the year. Love you guys. Yeah, it's funny. I wonder if they'll, now that, you know, I mean, obviously I know the Russia-Ukraine thing is still going on, but, you know, when it was about to launch, right, like that was like the only headlines going on. I wonder if they'll try and slate it back in for like a December, because wasn't it originally December?
What if they rename it? Advance fight.
Yeah, advance tickle fights remake.
Yeah,
it's all water guns and water bombs.
Yeah.
It's
all, you know, it's all paintball. Yeah, advance paintball wars.
The blood is green.
That would be like, that's like a Super Nintendo style censorship.
With the Mortal Kombat. Yeah, with
it's all sweat.
Green.
Or what if they did the opposite and they actually made it even more grotesque?
Yeah,
they just added blood.
Advanced global conflict.
Yeah.
I will say,
advanced geopolitical
Ukraine wars. It's called Ukraine wars.
Yeah, Ukraine wars. Jeez. Bayonetta 3. We didn't talk about that, right? Super awesome. I'm that comes out October 28th, right in time for Halloween. Mm-hmm. I'm ready. I can't wait. I'm so happy it's coming out finally. Yeah. But yeah, I don't know what else would be coming out this year, unless if it was truly a game out of left field.
I really think a Wind Waker, you know, like I could see that happening, or like you know, a remake, another remake, because Breath of the Wild's not coming out till next year.
That Metroid Prime one, people are saying September maybe. So
for always,
I could see a
but
nice
it seems like this might actually
out.
Be the year. So who knows?
But yeah,
I've definitely said that before.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, it's weird, right? It's July. I mean, we are like past the halfway point, but they are just dropping random. You know, they dropped that. We didn't talk about that Kirby game that's coming out. Looks like Kirby Fall Guys. That looks great and really fun. And then, they just randomly dropped the Bayonetta 3, like out of nowhere. It's like 5 years. Okay, Bayonetta 3 is apparently coming out. You know, and there you go. And so I could see them doing, you know. Really, it's weird, right? Like that, it's weird that they didn't have. Why didn't they have a Nintendo Direct? It's so bizarre, you know. I mean, there's definitely reasons why, but it's like, you know, what is that? So,
I wonder if they're just trying like a new format, right? I mean, because they could have easily paired all that together, like you said, given us a 20-minute Direct with Kirby news, the Metro, Bayonetta news, this, that, and the other thing, you know, showed us some more Splatoon 3 gameplay. but I wonder if it's
2.5.
I wonder if they're thinking like, hey, let's see how this, instead of just one drop, you know, being the talk of the town for, you know, a couple days. Like, hey, each week we'll sort of drop a little bit and sort of keep us relevant.
Yeah, I wonder what's going on.
How that plays out.
So yeah, let's count. I mean, like, what we have the Pokemon games. So that is something. Bayo, Splatoon 3. What else?
The Kirby game definitely looks cute. Do you think that's now it's eShop exclusive, so no physical? You think that's going to be like a $15 or $20 game, or are they
probably no idea. Or Nintendo Online? I don't know. I don't think they've done pre-orders yet, so it could be anything.
No idea. It's weird they haven't mentioned the price. That is weird. I could see it being like an expansion pass thing because you need.
That's what I was thinking too at first. Like, hey, you could buy it for X amount of dollars, or if you're part of Nintendo Online.
The beautiful thing about Nintendo is you just don't know. Like you cannot predict what they're gonna do. Like it's just one of those things.
This is a good like Neil question because like he's always really good with like sort of the inner workings of Nintendo. But if I was to put my Neil hat on about why they're doing it this way, it's probably like Nintendo Directs get a ton of hype, but if they announce the Bayonetta 3 news on a random Tuesday, they get all the attention and people are still excited for it regardless of when it's coming out, and I still get on it. Like, it's the Nintendo Direct is nice, but the thing is, Nintendo is going to release the games when they release the games regardless. Like, video game Christmas is fun, but the games coming out at the end of the day is the same, and I think Nintendo's like currently like maybe in the mode of like, hey, if we do one game at a time, we get all the attention, even though it's technically less attention than a single Nintendo Direct. So,
yeah, no, it's interesting. I guess, you know, if E3 is going to be back next year, by theory, we should get a big boy Direct. But yeah, I mean, I think they're probably just saying like, hey, let's just sort of mess around and see what sort of garners the most traction.
Mm-hmm. But you know what garnered a lot of traction this week? My poll.
It always does.
Poll results time.
Well, when you got a poll that big, you know, people seem to look.
Oh, I was a little spicy, but you got naughty with that, Casey.
Yeah.
That's no, this, how we this, do it. This week's
poll
time.
I don't know what you guys are talking about. I mean, it wasn't, we got 157 votes.
No, that's good traction this week. It actually was. And this was one I've been sitting on for a while, but there had been like other better polls to do. And this was like one in the back of my head, but, gotcha. The most even vote we've ever had for the amount of votes we've had. Do you feel the Nintendo Switch's hardware is powerful enough in 2022? In other words, does the Switch run the games you play well enough, or do you have many instances where frame rate chugs or you aren't satisfied by how a game looks? Option one, it's powerful enough. The Switch is powerful enough. Two, no, we need Switch 2 soon. Three, not sure / mixed feelings. Casey, what is the... Actually, no, who read Estuardo's email?
That was me.
All right, Perry, do you want to read the results?
Yes, I will. Very tight race. Very, very tight race. So coming in at third place, we had it's powerful enough. Well, I guess I can read. Did you read the?
I read the selections, but not the percentages.
Gotcha. So at third, 31.8% said it's powerful enough. 33.1% said, no, we need a Switch 2 soon. And 35%. The definitive answer said not sure / mixed feelings.
Now that is an objective answer to that question I've ever seen.
Yes.
It's actually impressive that I put in like the generic people need somewhere to dump their mixed feelings answer, and it actually still ended up being really even.
Yeah, that's amazing.
It makes sense. Well, it's funny, right? What? It launched in 2017 March. So we're 5.5 years removed already. Since launch, just about, which is
crazy.
Pretty, yeah, I was gonna say that's a pretty crazy thing. But I remember that day, man, waking up, woo-hoo, so happy. But yeah, I think I didn't answer. I didn't participate in the poll. But I am now. I would say we need the Switch soon. Switch too soon. To me, it's like sure, you know, like Nintendo is gonna put out games that run and look great, right? But like. Now you're going to start seeing other ports either looking even worse or just altogether not coming. I mean, the Switch has sold so many, or Nintendo sold so many Switches that, like, they're going to do their best to get these games on here because the, you know, the platform and just the number of people out there to the pool of peeps is so large. But I think, I don't know what Nintendo's plan is, but I would think, you know, sometime in 2023, you would hope to see Switch 2. I hope they don't do like, oh, it's a beefed up Switch.
I'm okay with that. I'm okay with if it's Switch 2, if it's like a good Switch Pro and they just let make Switch last another 2 or 3 years. We need Switch 2 soon, but my like actual answer is like, I just want more powerful hardware to play Switch games on so that it runs at like 60 frames or at least a stable 30, a crystal 30. That's the minimum I ask for on like Nintendo published games, and it doesn't always get there.
Yeah, that's true.
I mean, like, and like I'm spoiled from Steam Deck, but that's my sort of take.
Yeah.
What about you, Jir?
I guess I would probably be not sure, you know, and I mean, like, because Nintendo does a great job with their games. You know, when they're out, like the ones that I play, I guess, like, you know, the Hyrule Warriors, I haven't played a bunch. I mean, I think Strikers ran pretty well too. And, I believe we'll talk about Strikers next week on Listener Mail, but, yeah, like, I don't know. Like, I think if it's almost the same thing to me, it's like, it doesn't really matter. I just want more Nintendo games, 'cause I know that they're the ones that I want to play will be playable on the Switch. And I kind of just want the next one to be, I want Switch 2. I hope that it's backwards compatible with Switch. Like,
it should be like a DS, you know, to 3DS situation.
We
not
just need another one of these.
Yeah, not necessarily the 3D part, but yeah, just like give us a beefed up, you know, I mean, ideally 4K would be amazing, but it doesn't necessarily need to, not,
I'll take
not
60
4K.
Over 4K.
Well, I was going to say, not necessarily 4K in the handheld, but like
maybe
on
1080p
TV
standard
nice.
With like, yeah, four, and with 60.
Yeah, 60 frames would be like the most important thing for sure.
Yeah, it'd be interesting. Like, and because I could see them saying like not all games are compatible. Like, for instance, they could just any games with like, it's tough because of the
any
motion
game
stuff.
They want to resell you for the third time.
I know, it's so tough, man. Who knows what's going to be. Anyway, I don't know. I'm very happy with my OLED right now. So that's kind of where I'm at, where it's like I'm very much enjoying it right now. So I might just say it's powerful enough. There you go. Boom.
Cool.
But
loser.
I'm fine. I would definitely pre-order a Switch 2 literally as soon as possible.
Yesterday. Yeah. Well, it's funny, right? You normally hear the rumblings of like the next system like a years in advance.
Yeah, you're right. We haven't heard anything, have we?
It's been mum has been the word.
No man, Project Cafe crap.
I mean, we were When the Wii U, like we are past like the Switch has launched since like the Wii U, you know what I mean? Like the
well, yeah. The I mean, they were trying to get away from the Wii U.
2012 November, and then it was in 2017
March. Yep.
Oh no, was it 2011 November? No, 20.
I think it was 2012. I think it's 2012.
Yeah.
But they wanted to get away from the Wii U as quick as they possibly could. Where here now they have a reason to stick around.
Yeah. So yeah. Anyway, crazy, right? Because we're past that point. We haven't even heard of it. That's a good point, Case.
Thank you.
So you actually did it. You made a good point.
It only took 306 episodes.
Yeah. Anyway, thank you for listening, everyone. It's been great. We are going to end the show now, and we are going to give our Twitter handles and our Discord and our Patreon.
At Kulafia, Culafia.
There you go.
At Talk Nintendo Pod. That's Talk Nintendo.
P.
Oh.
D-d-d-d-d. Just one.
And you can send us mail at tnpmailbag@gmail.com. That's kind of weird when you say at. And,
yeah. You almost said Nintendo World Report, didn't you?
Yeah, yeah. So that's TNP. No, wait, hold on. That's TNP, and then you guys do the
mail.
I'm just not going to do it.
Nope. Say it. Say
bag.
At gmail.com. Send us some listener mail. We'll get, and the people who sent listener mail, we will get to it next time.
We're queuing
time.
Them up.
And just flooded it. And you can check us out at patreon.com/NWR. That's patreon.com/
G-O-O-G-A. G-O-O-G-A.
Don't you mean G2A?
Yeah. Actually, no. Wait, it's G-O-O-G-O-O-G-A-G-A. I apologize profusely.
I love that end joke. That is a great one.
Alrighty. We'll see you next week.
Bye.
Goodbye.
Baby Balix wreaking havoc, goo goo gaga gangsta magic.